Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the September 21 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Kurt Kimball of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Also from Bates Commodities, Pete Manhart. Merrill Crowley is here from Crowley Commodities from Watsika. And Dwayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Merrill Crowley, let's start with you today as you take a look into the grain stocks report next week. That'll be due out on Friday. Do you have any thoughts about whether USDA will have any impetus to change really what they've had in their WASDE numbers for ending stocks for this year for either corn or soybeans?
For the corn, I probably don't see much change. I would think there would be more feed use, but I've thought that for the last three reports, and there's not been any change in the amounts for more feed use for the animals. I mean, we've got higher stocks of animals, pigs, poultry. So you would think that would increase the feeding amounts, but so far we haven't seen that.
On the soybean side, Kurt Kimmel, if you consider the same grain stocks report, it appears that the numbers, exports, have been awfully good. Will USDA be prompted to change that and potentially lower the next October WASDE figures?
You could see that slightly. I mean, when you look at the overall soybean supply-demand balance sheet, you have the crush and the exports is fairly well anticipated as far as those numbers are reported throughout the whole marketing year. But that's the thing, the market finished, or the export market finished, on a strong note at the tail end, and I think there's room for 10 to 15 million bushel adjustment.
Wayne Nelson, you usually have a pretty good pulse on what's happening in some of the southern growing areas, in particular for soybeans. They had some problems with Harvey. Irma came through, which didn't have too much of an impact, but maybe when we get to Georgia and some of the other places. Have you heard yields coming out of those areas, and what do they look like?
Yeah, they are a lot stronger than what we thought they might be. Some of the dryland beans in Arkansas actually were above 60 this year. That's a real good yield for the dryland beans is that such that way. We have to remember that area, you know, the beans, it's just the early beans being hit there. But as far as the south, they actually have the above average, or above what they were thinking they might have as far as beans. The area that we're looking a little bit negative for beans is probably eastern Indiana, parts of Wisconsin, and then basically Iowa, where they've been dry. But Minnesota is where things look real strong. Now, in Indiana, in our area within 100-mile range, we're doing probably not quite as good as last year, but still mid-60 beans, and that's really good beans for what we were looking for.
Have you been talking to producers about bean yields and what they believe they have in the field, or heard those at this point, Pete?
What we've heard are better than expected, and in some places better than last year. We're hearing anywhere from 60 to 85, a lot of 75 to 80s on 500 to 600 acres harvested. And most of that south, where they're normally not that, in Illinois, southern Illinois.
With the heat, we should have some pretty good dry down. Do you think we'll hear from Iowa very much next week? And how much hinges for the price of soybeans on what we hear out of Iowa?
Well, I think that's, you know, the big state that people are going to look at what those yields are. And I still think they're a little behind, even with this heat. So I don't know that we'll have much coming out of Iowa until 10 to 15 days from now.
So we've got some time, and that'll put us past, potentially, if we get 10 to 15 days out, we might get just past the October WASDE report. We'll have the grain stocks in our rearview mirror. Are there possibilities or opportunities in that time frame, do you think, for producers who generally will run a lot of soybeans across the scale and make cash sales to do something different, or to maybe make a decent cash sale?
Yeah, any type up in here, beans be the first to move, of course, because they're at more of a profitable level compared to corn. We'll see how fast the crop comes out. But, man, we're still dealing with a wide basis, and that's an issue. I hate to give up a whole bunch of basis opportunities, particularly when you look out to the July and pick up another 30, 35 cents. So, but if you do move cash grain across the scale, particularly beans, I'd maybe do some type of replacement to try to play a little catch-up this winter if there would be some issues in the southern hemisphere.
So how do you go about doing that? What kind of plan of attack would you take?
We're trying to preserve working capital, meet cash flow commitments, and we're in a covered situation, whether it be a futures with a put or some type of call strategy. And the popular thing to do is reinvest what you would spend in storage to have that re-ownership.
This week, Wayne Nelson, President Trump has been putting a lot of pressure on North Korea, sanctions put forth, asking the banking system in the United States to work against those who might be trading still with the North Koreans, was very forceful at the United Nations with the speech he made there. Is there reason to be concerned about that as it relates to China and soybean exports?
Well, Rocket Man's sort of crazy, and we don't know what he's going to do. But I can tell you one thing. I think that he has really got to the Chinese people. Chinese banking system said they're not going to be dealing with them on Thursday. And I think that is just tremendous. I think that, you know, if we can sort of shut the poor guy off and cut his money and everything along the way, maybe if China on our side, this could end very peacefully and throttle the Rocket Man back.
And in that case, you would still have the open trade from the United States to China and the export of soybeans.
Yeah, I mean, this week, Thursday, especially Thursday morning, we announced some tremendously large bean trades. We were 90% sure the unknown is China. They're continuing to be in here. They are actually even looking for some more corn this year, like five times as much corn as they generally import. That's something we really need because we've lost a lot of our market to South America. But if we could come on and do that and stay good friends with those people, it would just be tremendous.
Yeah, we're seeing great demand out of China. We're seeing great demand all over the world for beans. And it's kind of interesting. We have such a large crop for South America, and here the demand is still coming to our back door. We are competitive in our pricing in that area, but, you know, anything happens, they could try to go back to South America. Now, interestingly, I saw a blurb today that we talked about South Korea actually providing aid to North Korea. So that's going to be maybe a way for everybody to work around it, save face, and maybe bring this to a peaceful end.
So we have many things that are working in the soybean market. I want to delve into one more of them. I believe that much of the price rally in early month of September was some short covering. However, it appears now that there might be some new buying coming into this marketplace.
Well, yes. We last report we had from the on the amount of funds where they were at, had them very, very small on the short side of things. So I'm sure by this point, with all the buying we've seen, we've moved to the upside. I know open interest is starting to rise, which would tend to mean more buying's coming into this market. And like I said, I think the major reasons for this is just world demand for oil seeds, and the beans are getting bought and they're moving out of the country. If you look at the Baltic Index, you're seeing shipments rise for all commodities. So I think you're starting to see a turn.
Yeah, that's tremendous, the usage, and I think that's holding the beans up really well. I mean, this week, 960,000, 132,000, 108,000, another 132,000, and most of that all went to China, and they're going to continue to buy to feed their people.
Why is it that when open interest changes, that sometimes it can be viewed as really positive to the marketplace? What is it about it that makes it that way?
Well, they went from being negative to getting rid of those negatives, buying them all back. They were only short a little bit, and the idea is that they're going to be positive and actually own beans and be long the beans. And I think that's just a usage thing of everybody wants to have beans because they're being well used around the world.
So it really just shows that there's brand new buying into the marketplace.
Yeah, whenever you got low volume and interest, you have to question the magnitude of the move. But whenever you get a price move, you get some volume behind it, and open interest go up, you got more participation, there's a sign something's going on, and you want get on board because the momentum's going that way. A lot of these commodity funds are trend-following types of programs, and so as long as you get the backing in it, they'll continue to add to that position. This coming week is going to be quite interesting, because if you look at the price chart, we got kind of a little bit of a double top in the beans in this 975-978 area. If we can poke that out, maybe we can see some follow through enthusiasm to the upside. But it's going to be probably kind of hard to take November beans much above $10 as we get into glut of harvest with a little bit better expected yields and guys being cash hungry to generate some dollars to pay bills.
Again, it brings me back to Iowa, I think, Wayne Nelson, and what probably their beans look like. I'm not certain that Illinois doesn't have a pretty good bean crop in it. However, Iowa's been showing us drought for quite some time now.
Yeah, Iowa is the key. It's just pure and simple whether we're going to have the government yields or whether we're going to have everybody else's yields that we've been expecting along the way, and that's what's going to happen. You know, one of the things we're looking at here right now is it's generally seasonally about the first or second week of October is generally when beans start to take off a little bit to the upside a little bit, and right now the volatility is very, very low on options in corn and beans. And I mean, you know, it's probably a time not to sell options, but a time to maybe buy the option and sell it later if we wanted to be replacing something, as Kurt was talking about, I think, there. So, you know, we want to look at we want to buy low volatility, but we don't want to sell low volatility. We want to buy it. So that's what we want to look at, is maybe some replacement here, is do it soon.
Is there any indication that volatility should kick in and increase over the next couple of weeks?
Well, typically as you move into the winter, volatility is kind of relatively low, but we're kind of historically low at this time. If we would see some type of problem in the southern hemisphere, I think volatility would start to pick up. But your highest volatility is during the growing season, anywhere from April until about the end of September.
Now, on the note of South America, it's been pretty dry there. However, that's pretty typical, especially for Brazil, Mato Grosso, on Thursday afternoon. In fact, all week long, we've asked whether this was something to be concerned about. Most of the meteorologists are not concerned. They've finally started to talk about a little rainfall maybe coming in. That'll kickstart their planting season. Is there reason in the trade that they're very concerned about pushing back maybe the start of their planting season there?
From this point on, every week you delay the planting of the soybeans. You also delay the safrinha corn planting, and I believe the figure is 7%. I was trying to see in my notes. I couldn't find it. So as this progresses, the longer it delays it, you're going to start to see a reduction not only in the beans possibly, but in your safrinha corn as well.
So that would, in that case, push the safrinha corn back potentially into a very dry time frame for their pollination period next, well, we'll call it spring for us, but it would be summer for them. And that could potentially be a place, and we can switch into corn now, where the corn market might find some support.
Exactly. You know, you're coming up with La Nina right now, and that can affect their weather more so than it is supposed to affect ours. And if you look at the beans and the cycles and the technical outlook, if we can get the beans up above 984, I think that changes the whole technical picture for beans and turns it positive. And if that's the case, you're going to have to see you move higher. Right now, I think 1045 would be the high level of that. But depending on the conditions that come about, you could see it go even higher. The corn market, and I just can't get a bullish count or bullish look at the corn market yet. I still think the corn market could move lower. If we take out 360, 365, then I think we got a real good possibility the lows are in for the corn and we could move higher.
So if you can get the beans to move, you don't think the corn will follow along with them?
Oh, I definitely think it will, but you might have a time period, because you can have up to a month where they go opposite directions. You know, if you look back in history, a month, maybe a month and a half. So you could see the beans moving up and the corn move down. You're going to have harvest pressure. Basically, the whole place understands that we've got the corn, and you've got the corn in South America, and that's what's keeping our exports down. You look at exports compared to last year, corn exports went from 6.5 to 7.1 behind last year, percentage-wise, and yet bean exports, with the way we had today, they went from 6.5 down to 5.1. So it's, you know, that is what's pressuring the corn, in my mind, is the fact that you're being able to buy it out of South America at this time, so you have a real big competing source. If the dollar keeps going lower, then you could see things maybe move back the other way.
Pete, in the September USDA crop production report, they raised the total size and yield of the crop across the nation. They did drop by one bushel, the Iowa corn crop. How much of a problem do they have, if any? It's still not a bad crop there, or at least it wasn't by USDA's accounting.
It's still a good crop there, just like it is in Illinois. There's going to be some areas that aren't that good, but I think they're poo-pooing it too much. I think it's going to be a good crop in general across the Midwest, so that we'll have a second year of really a lot of corn after last year's really great corn. But not as good as last year, but still not bad at all for corn.
Yeah, so we have a lot of corn left over from last year. We have a good crop that will be coming in this year. How much pressure do you think will come into the marketplace, or is most of it here already?
I think most of it's here. We don't know exactly what the yields will be. I think the big thing is we need to have, as we talked earlier, more exports of corn. Our exports on corn have been dragging behind last year's exports.
Well, I guess you guys are much better farmers than what you thought, because everything's sort of coming in better than expected, so hurrah. But a lot of these corn yields are not up to, year-ago levels, so we still got to have a lot of harvest in front of us. I really believe the USDA's figuring wet bushels maybe is why that yield's a little high. We definitely got to work with those numbers. We'll see how the rest of the crop comes in. The key in through here, though, is as we move into this fall, to see how fast this crop comes out, see how the dry drought is. And as we move forward and through here, I think there's going to be plenty of opportunities to see support on breaks, because the end user is not covered, but yet there's still a lot of cash grain to keep a lid on it for a little while. Until we get to that Columbus Day holiday, then we'll see a whole different story.
So why, he's looking at you, Wayne Nelson, why would Columbus Day holiday be a turning point? Is there something about that that you and Kurt are thinking as you look forward as to why things might change at that time?
Well, I think that that's about the time that people have quit selling what they're wanting to sell. They're going to hold it until it's time, till they need money again. And it's going to be along that one. Now, there's two things going on. What we've seen harvested so far has been tremendously good yields. What's that? That's the ground that is tiled well, that's good ground, that they were able to plant in April and not replant. That's what we've seen. What we're going to see now in the second third of harvest here, because we're only maybe a third through, we're going to see the ground that maybe got implanted, but maybe didn't get all replanted, might be lower population, could have some setback along that way. And the other is late planted. And I'll tell you what, a lot of these beans, as dry as it's been, are getting down 8, 9, 10% in a lot of places. And you've lost water, you've lost bushels, it just ain't there. So we've got a chance, even if they're good-looking beans along the way, to be a little lower yield where the heats really come in and the moisture wasn't there to finish them out good to start with.
Yeah, the old LDP days, the Columbus Day holiday, that was very, very popular in the day, because you had a government holiday, yeah, but oftentimes the market would move and the fax machines would light up and guys would take advantage of it. So historically, you go back, gentlemen, don't trade the short side past Columbus Day.
That's one of the things we'll have to work with. And the other thing is we would maybe begin to be pretty far along in our corn harvest. It's not that far away, but it doesn't take too long for producers to get in and really shuck a lot of corn.
That's correct. They'll move right along once they get started. We still have to get the beans out of the way first. I want to reiterate a point that Kurt made when he said better than expected. I got one the other day. It was a 215 bushel yield, and it was 30 bushel better than expected. Now, if you stop the story right there, you're thinking, wow, you know, we got no chance of taking yields down below the government program. However, you move a little bit farther in the story, and you find out you're 10 bushels per acre less than last year. And that's going to make a fairly decent difference in the whole total outlook if that continues. Just using a couple yields that I had from different locations, Iowa, Illinois, and Missouri, we're dropping at an average of about 7.5%. And if you took that off of our current yield, you'd drop your yield down to 161.4. But it's early. And so, you know, you can't necessarily go by what the early yields are. But if that were to continue, that would change prices in a hurry.
It would change prices in a hurry. However, the USDA numbers remain the USDA numbers, and it looks like the crop, at least at this point, is probably still there.
At this point, it's there, but again, we haven't seen I've got people telling me replants and late planted stuff won't make 100 bushel, literally, on corn. Now, we've got guys making 220, 230, 190, 20 to 30 bushel above what they thought. But what did those same places make last year? We've got a guy right in McLean County, 190 to 200. Last year, he probably averaged 235. I mean, yeah, they're decent yields, but they're not as good as last year in general.
Just the crop's not there from last year, although last year was an awfully, awfully good crop.
It was. And when we say the crop's not there, it's kind of a misnomer or misleading, because we are going to have a big crop. We're going to have a big crop of corn. We're going to have a big crop of beans. We haven't even talked about what the acres might do with the beans and whether they'll go up or not. But, you know, the thing is you keep looking. When you look at all the supply, you look at the demand, you look at everything, and you just start seeing little bits and pieces start being chiseled away. And that tells me that the bottom, if it isn't in, is really close.
How close do you think it is?
I think it could be in. If not, I think we might, with extra selling pressure and depending how the harvest goes, we might actually go down and test that, 314 low down there. But first, let's get first things first. You have to take out the 343 level, and if you don't do that, then it just confirms your bottom's in and you should move up and start taking out the high side.
I'm going to talk about the export market just for a bit for both corn and soybeans, because at this time of year, normally we would be moving soybeans out of New Orleans, so the export market would be primarily soybeans. We've been fairly early this year moving soybeans. That's happened in the past. Is there any reason to believe that the export market would bring corn in earlier this year than it has in previous years?
Well, on the beans, that was the concern through the mid part of the growing season. We did not see those Asian sales come in, and now they're on fire. Now it's a matter of securing those inventories and getting them shipped out of the country. Now, as far as corn goes, for those who believe the dollar influences grain values, they need to reevaluate their corn export demand on the supply-demand balance sheet for this coming crop year. You cannot lower exports if a weak dollar is going to stimulate some demand. So there's a lot of moving parts in through here. When you even look forward past this crop year and the next crop year, the southern hemisphere is expected to be a few less corn acres, and we could lose some of that competition out of the southern hemisphere. So the bright spot going into 2018 is a resumption of corn exports.
So the dollar from the beginning of the year is off, what, about 5%, maybe more than that?
Yeah, we were trading the dollar up around 104, 103. We're down to this 93, 92 level. If you look at our price chart since January, the trend is down. If you look at the corn chart, the bean chart, and the wheat chart, we're down to the lower end of the levels. Now, if you're a major grain world buyer and seller or a hedge fund, the dollar does matter in those terms, but as a producer, don't get too wrapped up in it and make your decisions off how strong or how weak the dollar is.
So not 5%, but something closer to 10% in terms of how much the dollar has lost since the beginning of the year.
Yeah, Todd, I mean, the dollar does affect things, but along the way, right now, South America is cheaper on corn than us. We had that market for an extra 3 or 4 months last year. That's where we're going to sort of start slow this year. It's good we have less corn acres and more bean acres this year for this, but we're looking at turning that around for next year. We're looking at adding some more corn acres back in, or that's the presumption as of right now as far as the surveys go. So, you know, along the way, we have to hope for a La Nina. That's a hope for bad for other people. We hate to do that, but it's for South America, so that's the way it goes. But, you know, that is, we're ENSO neutral now, but we're leaning towards La Nina. But unfortunately, if we listen to a lot of the meteorologists, in about 10 days, they're going to start getting rain in that dry area down in South America, and they'll start doing. But as Merrill said, that'll put them in a couple weeks back, and that might be good enough that they might not want to put out that second Safrina crop.
Regardless of the size of this corn crop, farmers will have to use some commercial storage for it. They probably will be putting in, and they'll be in charge on it at least through mid-January, something between, what, 18 and 25 cents, depending on your where you are, maybe a bit more than that. What kind of price range do you see between now, for corn, that is, and the end of the year? And can you make up that in the carry? Is it worth actually paying for the charge?
Well, I'm against that. I'm ready to sell it and go buy a call for 12 cents, but that's me. It helps my business, but I just don't see corn making up that 25 cents right now that maybe we're going to be in. I'm in Merrill's corner that we might have seen the lows down there at that 343. If we get heavy into harvest in the next 10 days and we break that, we could go a little lower, but I am ready to buy those calls or buy the futures for that corn.
We're looking at, what, 27, 28 cents carry in the corn. It's going to kind of depend on what your commercial storage is. I think it's a no-brainer that you want to hold that corn to pick up that carry. You also could be looking at 15 to 20, maybe even better on the basis improvement on what you could put at home. And then I got to side with Pete. Everybody and their dog. I mean, you've got South America holding corn for better prices. You've got everybody telling the U.S. farmers, hold your corn for better prices. And now even the Chinese are jumping in on the, and those farmers are holding corn for better prices. How much more can you get to the side of the boat where you don't want to be doing that? So I'm thinking that try to turn as much you can into cash. But yes, re-own on the board. You know, that's what the board is. Shift your risk there. On one contract of corn, you're talking at 350. You're talking, $17,500. And if you put it out on the board and took margin, you only got to start with 850. That's just pure, simple money management.
You know, I had a good old friend, Dan Mark. He was big in the grain business, done seminars all over the world. And he said the masses were, and then blank, blank, generally wrong. So everybody's saying store. Everybody's saying hold it. Everybody's saying do it. I have to agree a little bit with Merrill that we go ahead on farm storage. I believe the carry is there. You've got to use it. You've got to, and in fact, and probably have to even buy a July put of some sort as to hold the bottom underneath the market and maybe take where you think the market might go to and sell the call above it to get it down to where it's maybe only 10 or 15 cents. But as far as the crane that you have to haul to town, I'm going to say we sell.
I believe we're going to see our normal seasonal appreciation in basis. But the thing is, the best basis move is from now until middle of December. So you've got to make a decision middle of December to take care of that situation. Also, too, in these replacements, we did the same thing last year. If we're wanting to put producers in a position to be flexible and so forth, but if our goal is to make 20, 25 cents, take it. Don't get to 20, 25 cents and all of a sudden 130. It doesn't work.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find our programming online and listen to the whole of the program anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org, WILLAG.org. It's public radio for the farming world. Our thanks to our panelists today, including Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, from Watseka, Illinois, and Crowley Commodities, Merrill Crowley, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, and also from Bates Commodities in Normal, Kurt Kimmel. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.